Good morning, and love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. And happy Palm Sunday, and happy birthday, church, okay? Pentecost is the birthday of the church. We're finishing up the whole chapter of chapter 4 of Colossians. Colossians has been a wonderful book, hasn't it? What an eye-opener. I mean, very powerful. So we start with verse 1 in chapter 4. Masters, provide for your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. And this actually should have been in last week's text, but Matthew Henry writes regarding it, "The apostle proceeds with the duty of masters to their servants, which might have been joined to the foregoing chapter and is a part of that discourse. Here, observe, justice is required of them. Give unto your servants that which is just and equal. Not only strict justice, but equity and kindness. Be faithful to your promises to them and perform your agreements, not defrauding them of their dues, nor keeping back by fraud the hire of the laborers. Require no more of them that they are able to perform, and do not lay unreasonable burdens upon them and beyond their strength. Provide for them what is fit, supply proper food and physic, and allow them such liberties as may fit them the better for cheerful service and make it the easier to them. And this though they be employed in the meanest and lowest offices, and of another country and a different religion from yourselves. A good reason for this regard, knowing that you also have a master in heaven, you who are masters of others have a master yourself and are servants of another Lord. You are not the lords of yourselves and are accountable to the one above you." Now, you'll say, well, maybe I'm not a manager. We all have people that serve us, right? You go to the grocery store, there's people who serve you. They're not our slaves, right? We treat them with respect and love. You go to a restaurant, there's servers there. You don't have to be demanding, okay? And also, in regards to gratuities, we should be the most generous people in our tips, right? There's a lot of waiters and waitresses, that don't want to work on Sundays because Christians come in and they don't tip well. That should not be, okay? Now, what's that?
More,
yes, that's right, okay? I'm glad you said it in English, okay? Sometimes Hector speaks in Spanish. Have you ever had a bad boss? And isn't it terrible? I was blessed many years ago when I was young, which is a long time ago. My first job out of college was working in the bread business. And I had an average supervisor, but then I got a really good one. His name was Jim Wynn, a dynamite supervisor. I ended up becoming a manager, and later on I won 4 national sales contests. And we got some really nice trips out of it, okay? But that's the difference a good manager makes, okay? And you can appreciate them and be thankful for them. But the message for us today is, if we are in a position of authority in work or anywhere, remember we belong to Jesus. He is our boss. He is our ultimate authority. And I forgot to get my little thing here. Okay. Move to the next slide, please. So, we are called to do our work as unto the Lord instead of seeking to impress and please people. Employers or those in authority should see themselves as accountable to Christ for the way they treat their employees. Be good managers if you're a Christian, okay? Because people are watching, right? Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And I got this slide that says, go to the next one. Pray with an alert mind and a thankful heart, okay? Bob Utley says, prayer is not optional. Prayer is crucial for effective Christian living and ministry. If Jesus, being God incarnate, was characterized by both public and private prayer, how much more do believers need to pray for the gospel, for themselves, and for one another? Prayer takes planning, persistence, and vigilance. It needs to become a lifestyle, not an event. The first thing Paul says is, devote yourselves to prayer, or continue in prayer. Philip Green says, devote yourselves to prayer, literally be strong towards prayer. In other words, never give up. Never give up praying for your friends. Never give up praying for your family members who don't know Jesus yet. Never give up praying that God would use you to bring others to Himself. Well, as you know, I have two sons, and they're both wonderful Christian men. I'm very Robin and I are very proud of them. In fact, they're pillars in the church, but they weren't always that way. Okay, hence gray hair. Okay, and there were many times when Robin and I were despairing, and we prayed with tears in our eyes for our boys, and the Lord answered them. Not in our time, in His time, okay? And for parents who are doing that right now, because I know there's parents out there doing that, it may not happen in our lifetimes, okay? But the key is to continually pray for your kids, daily. Pray for them daily, always. Amen? The second thing Paul says about prayer is to watch. Now, we are to look with kingdom eyes at the things around us and pray. But we are also to pray being aware that Christ can return at any time. I think there's like two meanings with the word watch. Because in the early church, it was always watch for the return. But I think he's also talking about watch for the results. And he wants us to watch for the return because he wants us to be ready, right? And Pastor Robin and I saw a movie on... I switched to Cox Cable from another thing, and we're getting these Amazon Prime things, and there was a movie called The Rapture on Sunday Morning, and it's about an African-American community and members of this church. And what happens is the rapture happens in the church on a Sunday morning, okay? Now, all Christians believe in a rapture, okay? Some believe that it's going to be, there's 1,000 years when Christ reigns before the rapture. Others believe there's 1,000-year reign after the rapture. And some Christians believe that the rapture is when Jesus returns on the clouds and the angels bring us up to Him, okay? But we all believe in a rapture, all right? But Robert and I were watching this and it was really shocking. And you can see these people are terrified, okay? Because the rapture happened. And notice, not all the church members were raptured, right? And you had divides in family. You had one spouse taken and the other left. You had kids left and the parents gone, okay? But it brought home the urgency of the gospel, okay? That we have to be ready, right?
Always.
Always, yeah. And that's what the early church taught, and I think we got away from that. We need to be ready, okay? Because He could return any time, all right? And I'm not saying that to scare you, but it's just part of our faith, okay? He is going to return, and we are going to be raptured, so be ready. We're going to show this movie on a Wednesday, probably when we finish on Micah, on probably going to be about 3 or 4 weeks. We finish up on Micah. We'll probably show it on a Wednesday, but you can see it... you can probably rent it at Flickster or get it somewhere, but it's a movie that I think all Christians should see because it brings awareness of the end times, okay? And for us, do we have to be afraid of them? No, because we're going to be gone, amen? The other thing is we pray so that we're ready, but also so we can see His hand in the things that happen around us. Now, by God's grace, the pastors and I were just talking about it. The church didn't skip a beat when we were shut down. Okay? The Lord provided for us financially. And we stuck together through email and phone contact. And we were able to stick together as a church. Okay? We didn't skip a beat. And people will say, what's that? And I learned how to Zoom. There you go. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Okay? But so it was a growth experience also. But people would say, man, you guys were just lucky. We weren't lucky. We were blessed, okay? And that's the difference between us and the world. They'll say you're lucky or it's a coincidence. There's no coincidence. It's the hand of God, right? We had a, during this time, we had one of the biggest miracles we've had at Amazing Grace. Ashley, a young lady who's 13 at our Spanish service, was diagnosed with cancer before the COVID thing started. And she was devastated, and the family was devastated. Well, we laid down hands and prayed for her when she came to church, and prayed for her all the time since. And she went back in April, and she's cancer-free. So praise God, right? Amen. And the world, and the doctors are amazed. The doctors are amazed, but the people will say, well, that's just lucky, that's a coincidence. No, it's the power of God, right? Amen? And the third thing Paul says is give thanks. When we see God's goodness, we are to be thankful. Brothers and sisters, we're so very blessed. I was just driving in here today, and it's a beautiful morning. Yeah, it's going to be hot, but it's beautiful. We don't have to shovel snow. And the birds, I saw the birds and stuff, and I just go, man, this is, we are truly blessed. I couldn't help but thank God, you know. It reminds me of a story about a businessman who was late for an appointment in a big city downtown, and he can't find a parking place. So he's panicking because he's going to be late for his business appointment. So he takes time to pray, and he says, Lord, take pity on me. If you find me a parking place, I'll go to church every Sunday for the rest of my life, and not only that, I'm going to give up drinking. Poof. A person backs out, and he's got a parking place right in the front. And he says, never mind, I found one. Isn't that like us? Isn't that like us, right? We take His grace for granted. And then we even take credit for it. Oh, look what I did, right? He's the one pulling the strings, right? Verse 3, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. And go to the... You missed a couple there. Go ahead. There we go. All right. That's just Paul in prison, okay? Paul needed an intercessory prayer. Paul was not in Rome nor on trial before Caesar by accident. This was predicted at his conversion. But if Paul needed prayer to preach and teach, do you think maybe your pastors need prayer to preach and teach? That's why we ask you guys to pray for us every day. That's why you get the emails, right? Because we need it, all right? And you're saying, yeah, Pastor Rick, you really need it. Okay. It reminds me of the story of an abbot at a monastery, and there was a young monk, and he said to the young monk, you're going to preach tomorrow morning at our service. So the young monk is terrified, and he gets up to preach, and he's shaken and trembling, and he says, do you know what I'm going to say? And they shake their heads, no. So he says, neither do I. Let's stand for the benediction. So the next day, he has to preach again. So he gets up, and once again he's shaking himself. Do you know what I'm going to say? He asked. And because of the previous day, everyone kind of nodded yes. So he said, then there's no need for me to tell you, so let's stand for the benediction. Okay. Finally, the abbot gets really upset with him. He says, you are going to preach tomorrow, or you're going to have 30 days in bread and water, and I'm going to lock you in your cell. You're not going to see anybody. I'm going to do everything terrible to you. By the way, this novice's name was Robert. So he said, Robert said, sure, okay, I'll preach. The next day, Robert's terrified, okay, and he doesn't know what to say. So then he says to the monks, do you know what I'm going to say? Well, half of them nod their heads yes, and the other half nod their heads no, or shake their heads no. So he says, let those who know tell those who don't, let us stand for the benediction. I guess what I should say is, let us stand for the benediction, right? Okay. But isn't it hard to come up with words to tell somebody about Jesus when you want to tell them about Jesus? And there's fear. There's a fear factor, too. Philip Green says, we who know Jesus desire to tell these who don't know Him because He means so much to us. But like that novice, the thought of it scares some of us. We don't want to offend. We want to present Jesus in such a way that our friends and family members want to get to know Him too. But we're not sure how they'll respond, so we hesitate. You ever do that? Yeah. And then you think, boy, I wish I would have said something, right? Recently, Pastor Robin and I listened to Francis Chan, an evangelist, and also a scientist. We saw in Metaxas, who was an evangelist. And this scientist brings at least one person to Christ every week. And we were looking at him and wondering what was the key. And the key for both of them was the same. They were both passionately, head over heels, in love with Jesus.
Amen.
And after listening, we were convicted. Maybe we don't love Jesus enough. That's why we have problems witnessing. Maybe we all must remember our first love, as Jesus said in Revelation, right? Because you can't fake it, right? And it helps if we remember that conversion experience when He first touched us in our lives. Go to the next one, okay? Next one. No, I don't think that's it. Go one more time. Yeah, go one more. Go forward. Yeah, there you go. Do you remember? Do you remember that? Do you remember the darkness and the emptiness before you knew Christ? And when He first came into your life, the joy, okay? That's what we got to remember. We got to remember that, right? And then witnessing won't be a problem. Verse 5. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Go to the next one, please. Okay. Usually says, believers are to live in such a way that non-believers are, one, not turned off, but two, attracted. Every believer is to be a verbal witness and a lifestyle witness. Believers are to be intentional evangelism. Intentional evangelists. Evangelism is God's will for the church. Oh, there you go. You got it. Every believer is a full-time minister of the gospel. And this is what we want to try to make people understand. And how many times have you heard, Pastor, where a pastor gets fired because he hasn't brought enough new people into the church? It's not their job. Their job is to equip the saints to bring people into the church. Okay? You guys are going to bring a lot more people into the church than us, and many of you have. And praise be to Jesus, right? Okay? Are we intentional about sharing Christ? Or is it an afterthought? Friends, Jesus could return any time. Do we want to see our friends and family members in heaven? It is not just the pastor's job. Isn't that cool? I'm way up in the front, okay? Harry's back here. I jest, okay? But don't you want to be there when the saints go marching in, okay? Today, at the end of worship, the Spirit spoke to Pastor Robin through somebody in a women's prayer ministry, and we anointed the kids on Wednesday. And she's going to anoint them again today, the kids that are here who weren't here Wednesday. Because you think it's tough for us?
Nope.
It's going to be tougher for them. And with the recent Supreme Court decision that the governors can tell you how many people can worship, that's just the beginning, folks. It's just the beginning. So our kids and our grandkids, they need to be anointed, okay? Because they're going to be bringing people to Christ, okay? There was a surgical assistant named Brandon Bradley, and he's a Christian, and he wanted to really get involved in ministry, and the Lord put him in a surgery room for plastic surgery. And he said, what am I doing in plastic surgery? It's just all about egos and stuff. and covering up what, you know, what's natural. And he said, "What do you want me to do here, Lord?" Well, the Lord spoke to him and he said, "Start a prayer circle." So he started coming to work 15 minutes, and he said, "I'll meet in surgery room 2, and we're going to pray." So there was a handful of Christians that went, and 15 minutes before work, they prayed. They did this for a couple of years, and 10 people accepted Christ. So then he was transferred out to general surgery, so he worked in several surgery rooms, and he started doing that in the other surgery rooms. So rather than just one room, he's throughout the entire hospital, okay? What he said is, "Since I realized that I could advance the kingdom of God through praying at work, I have found a renewed passion for my job, as well as the opportunities for ministry it provides." So there's just a thought of how somebody took the ball and ran with it, okay? Philip Green says, "Make every moment count for the gospel." Jack London once said, "The proper function of a man is to live, not to exist. I shall not waste my days in trying to prolong them. I shall use my time." Don't just exist, live. Don't waste your days. Use your time wisely to bring as many people with you to heaven as possible before you go. Matthew 10:16. Jesus said, "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves." Years ago in a high school in Virginia, they had a course called Home Economics for Boys. Nobody signed up. So the next year, they named it Bachelor Living, the exact same course. 120 boys signed up. If the world can use wisdom to sell things, we need to be creative in bringing people to Christ, right? We need to think outside the box, like Long Black Train, okay? With the pandemic, too, we have a great opportunity, because there are so many people today who are fearful and anxious. I believe if we talk about our love relationship with Jesus and His love for them, by God's grace, we may reach some. We need to be passionate with our love for Jesus. Remember our first love. Now I'm quickly going to describe Paul's co-workers. Tychicus was the bearer of the letter. He is also he also carried the Ephesians and Philemon, those letters. Paul sent him to explain his circumstances so the churches in Asia Minor would know how to pray for Paul better and to rejoice with him. He was an encourager, but he was also a messenger. Onesimus, he was a runaway slave who Paul had returned to his master Philemon. It appears Philemon listened to Paul and gave Onesimus his freedom. Later in the 2nd century AD, there's a bishop in Ephesus named Onesimus. So in Christ, all the barriers come down. Slaves become bishops, okay? Aristarchus, this is one of my favorite. A very faithful companion of Paul who suffered imprisonment, shipwreck, and persecutions with Paul. He's mentioned 3 times in the book of Acts. Robin is my Aristarchus. She's been through all the shipwrecks and all the garbage. She's been there. She's my encourager. John Mark, this is Mark who wrote the Gospel of Mark. He and Paul had their differences because Mark had abandoned Paul earlier. At this point, they are reconciled and Paul commends them. Justus, a Jewish follower of Jesus, who provided comfort and companionship to Paul. Verse 11, "These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me." In regards to the kingdom of God, go ahead to the next one. I think it's up here. There you go. This is in our basics course, describing what the kingdom of God is, because Jesus preached the kingdom of God, John the Baptist did. It's the number one thing he preached. God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit so that by His grace we believe His Holy Word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. That's Martin Luther. Now, Martin Luther makes this petition personal, which limits the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God encompasses everything, everyone and everything. It is big. The kingdom of God comes in the person of Jesus Christ to all who accept Him. The key is to see with kingdom eyes and not the eyes of this world. When Christ returns, everyone will see and realize his reign or kingdom, some to their damnation and others to their salvation. So that's the kingdom of God that was preached in the early church and that Jesus preached, okay? We are kingdom people. We are in the kingdom of God. Amen? Now I'm briefly going to discuss Paul's other co-workers. Epaphras, he started the churches in Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis, all in the Lycus Valley. Started three churches. He is described as a slave for Christ who passionately prayed for his people. It says he wrestled in prayer for the church. Eutley says this is a strong athletic term which comes into English as agony. Epaphras was a prayer warrior. His prayer for these believers was one that they stand, two, mature, and three, be assured in all the will of God. Next is Luke. He was a doctor who cared for Paul on his journeys and wrote the Gospel of Luke in the book of Acts. He contributed the most to the New Testament. Okay, Demas at this time was a loyal follower but later became apostate and he denies Christ. Nympha, she housed the church at Laodicea, apparently a leader in the church. There are no church buildings at this time. Archippus, he was the pastor of the house church. The early leadership positions were functions performed by local gifted believers, not vocations or offices. They didn't need a master of divinity, okay? And this is the house church, just to give you an idea. We didn't have buildings. And that may happen again, you know, depending on what the government does. But that's supposed to be Nympha, but there were a lot of women leaders in the early church, okay? This brings us to the final verses. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea, which we believe is Ephesians, okay? All of Paul's letters, not just Ephesians, a circular letter, were passed around from church to church and read aloud to the whole congregation. The churches believed that the apostles had a unique, inspired word from God. Their desire to hear all of Paul's letters written to other churches and on other occasions shows how the Bible relates to everyone and every age. And I got a traditional picture of Paul here. Go to the next one. See, that's kind of like a, what do you call that, an icon? Anyway, he could have looked like that. I know he had hair problems, okay? And he wasn't real handsome, all right? Not like your pastors, okay? Verse 17. Tell. Hey, it's my birthday this week, so I had long black train and all kinds of stuff, so sorry, okay? Verse 17. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Notice, who gave Archippus his ministry? Was it Paul? No. The Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Who gives us our ministry? Jesus. Not the pastor. Okay. Jesus gives you the ministry. Yeah. Okay. But the command is to finish what God has given us. Are we faithful? Are we faithful in the ministry Jesus has given us? Are we passionate, loving, and faithful to Jesus in the ministry He personally has given to us? And I'm going to embarrass Donna again because I like to embarrass her. Donna cooks every Wednesday. That's the ministry. I didn't give that to her. Jesus gave that to her. Okay? And she's very faithful. She makes edible food. Okay? I'm quoting her on that, okay? But there's all kinds of ministry, right? There's all kinds of ministry, all right? Paul and his companions were faithful to the ministry they had. Most of them were likely tortured or martyred for their ministry. Kevin Miller talks about a friend of his named Joe who goes on a lot of business trips, and he went on this one business trip, and the stewards were very attentive. And he said, man, this is amazing. These stewards, they're not missing a beat. They're taking care of all my needs. So he called one of the stewards over and spoke with her, stewardess, and he said, man, you guys are amazing. He said, I've never had service like this on an airplane. And she said, well, you can thank the passenger and seat 12B. She's right over there. And he said, well, what do you mean? And she said, the woman in 12B is the head supervisor for all the flight attendants for our airlines. So we're picking up the slack. Okay. It's amazing how well we work when the boss is there, huh? And for those of you who are managers, you know what I mean, right? Is our boss around? He's sitting right in 12B, right? All the time. Jesus said, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, in the last couple of weeks, with the quarantine and everything, the Lord's been speaking to Pastor Robin and myself, and the message has been, remember your first love. Remember the passionate love we first had for Jesus when we were born again and saved. I believe this is the message for the church today. We need to ask the Spirit to rekindle in us the fire of love so that we can passionately love all people to Jesus. Amen? And I found this. I love this picture of Jesus, okay? But we're going to pray this together, okay? So the words are right here. We'll pray them together. Let us pray. You opened my eyes to your wonders anew. You captured my heart with this love. Because nothing on earth is as beautiful as you, Jesus. Amen.